Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. This week, we're going to talk about women empowerment. I was so excited to be invited to lecture at Prelenium's Women Empowerment Conference this past weekend in Arizona, alongside so many other incredible women and colleagues in the aesthetics industry. I think the subject of empowering women needs to take a little time and precedence to all industry out there. Women make up so much of aesthetics. 90% of our patients are women, 90% of the injectors out there are women, and we need to be becoming more involved with running this industry. We need more women on industry panels. We need more women speakers. We need more research driven by women about women. And I would love to see more women in the C-suite positions of major industry and aesthetics. I know that women in every industry suffer. Did you know that in 2020, data showed that women were paid on average 83% of what men were paid? But to put that another way, women were paid 83 cents to every dollar paid to men. Many women of color were paid even less. For example, Black women were paid 64%, and Hispanic women were paid 57% of what white non-Hispanic men were paid. Out of all the Fortune 500 companies, there are only about 9% of the companies with CEOs that are women, a total of 46 out of 500. And this is currently the all-time high, so it's great that things are starting to change. But one study predicted that if women were paid the same rate as men, the actual poverty rate would be cut by 50%, because women are so often the glue that holds together the family. They have to be working parents. They're underpaid, and they're driven by the need to succeed, to feed their children, and to help their families, like so many men are. But women have had this handicap for so long that the more we talk about it, the more we demand our place at the table, the more likely we are to see change. One of the good things is that situations are changing. In 2022, for the first time, 53% enrollment in medical schools with women medical students. That is amazing. 53%. So more women entering medical school as med students than men. A total of 51,890 women students enrolled in U.S. med schools. That is one of the first times in history. My own daughter's computer science engineering class at USC, Viterbi, had more than 50% women enrolled. That's the first time in their school's history that the statistics were weighted towards women. Women make up more than a third of all physicians in the U.S., and they're growing majority, and that is super exciting. But still, in plastic surgery and the male-dominated fields like orthopedic surgery, only 5% are women. Plastic surgery, about 16% are women. And the number of male-to-female ratio of plastic surgeons specifically is about 5 men to 1 woman. But things are slowly changing, and I think the more we talk about it, the more things will change. So this meeting was really incredible. It allowed us to talk about the mental load that women carry. One of the reasons why we run around like crazy chickens with our head cut off feeling is because we're balancing so much. When you are the manager of your household, you're in charge of delegating and distributing all the tasks that need to get done to run a busy household. You carry that mental load with you everywhere to work. You have to balance the needs of your children and your family. You're thinking about the laundry. You're thinking about paying the nanny. You're thinking about not getting snacks in time for the soccer team. You're thinking about all kinds of things. Meanwhile, you're coming to work and running a business. And in the back of your head, while you're running your business, you're still carrying this mental load. So this is why women are chronically exhausted. Carrying the mental load distracts you from doing the things that really can move a business, from being a creative, from using your mental energy to drive projects forward. So try to compartmentalize. We try to put our attention all into work when we're at work and all into home when we're at home, but it doesn't really work that way. And we could change. We could assign tasks to the men and other members of the family, but sometimes family in general just suffers when we abandon this position of home leadership. So these are some things that were striking from the meeting, the idea of the mental load, the idea that we are on this treadmill of run, 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 and run fast and run hard to make more money, to be more successful, to grow your practice bigger. And then before you know it, you're on a treadmill and you can't stop. You can't stop because now you have to pay everybody's payroll, and now you have to show up every day, and now you have to do the things to be a big girl, to run a big business. And it's important to really evaluate your life needs. What are the reasons why we're working so hard? I lectured in my lecture about what are the reasons. So faith, family, fitness, finance, fun, friendship, fulfillment. This is why we come to work, for these important things. We come to work to earn money, to have time freedom, to do these important things, you know, to fulfill ourselves. And it's so important to not get lost in the process, to not be so driven to success that you forget why you're working, to not be so driven that you forget to pay time and attention to your family, and to set your own personal goals. And with that, let's hear about some of the speakers at the meeting and some of the amazing people at Prelenium who sponsored the meeting. Let's hear what women empowerment means to them. I'm going to walk around at this meeting. Sorry for the sound effects and noise and bad audio, but we're live from Prelenium's Women Empowerment Summit, and we're interviewing some amazing people. Listen in. I'm lecturing today all the way from Phoenix, Arizona with Prelenium, and we're at Revanessa's Women Empowerment Summit, and I'm so excited to introduce you to Mark. Mark, introduce yourself and your title, and let's talk about women empowerment.
Okay. Mark Wilkins. I'm the general manager for Prelenium Medical Technologies in the U.S.
Well, I'm thrilled that you guys are putting on a conference for women's empowerment. I think we've talked about 90% of our customers are women in aesthetics, 90% of our injectors are women, and it's refreshing that you guys are taking note. Tell me something that inspired you about putting this conference together.
Well, it's funny. It's funny you ask. The truth is that you were the inspiration for this conference. A few years back, when we were really getting the space going for us in the U.S., in conversations with you, you shared that, you know, you felt like maybe we were a bro company. We had a bro image. And initially it upset me, but really thinking about it, Ario and I both talked about this. We really understood, I think, what you were trying to say was that this is an industry that's dominated by women. We certainly agree with that. We all know that. But the opportunity that you guys have created for so many of us is really not being reciprocated on stage. And I think that the opportunity that we're trying to create here is just that, you know, meeting the needs of the market and listening to what our customers are saying to us.
Oh, that's awesome. And I didn't mean to say anything rude by saying you guys are acting like a bunch of bros, but it's sometimes the same guys at every conference, the men lecturing to us for the last 20 years. Yeah. And I'm really excited to see some refreshing change, and women can be really inspired by other women. So thanks for doing that.
You're welcome. You were in the messaging. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
what's
no way.
It's a common message.
I think the common message, one of the things that stuck with me was that you guys were saying that, you know, stop being so catty and being more supportive, quit talking about it. Mm-hmm. And we're not just women. I mean, we're bosses in the space. And, you know, we should treat each other with, you know, respect and dignity and help each other. I thought that was amazing. I mean, it's something that I think should resonate with all of the women that are in the conference here.
I think also just the life talk, like the real life, hard daily struggle that you have to work hard at home as much as you work hard in your office.
For sure. I know for you, like you were saying, I didn't know that you had, you know, four children, right?
Yeah.
It's four children. I didn't know that. So when you shared that, and I'm thinking, okay, one of the slides you said we're talking about the females when they go home and they have 25% more workload on them at the house. Mm-hmm. That really stuck with me. It made me think of my own wife.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll be a better husband when I go home tomorrow.
There'll be a back rub in there. Are you going to take on a little bit more?
My life, right?
Laundry load.
It made me really think more deeply about that side of things. And you know what? You're right. I was trying to quantify, like, the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I think she's on to something. I think she probably does 25% more at the house. So, yeah.
That's true.
It almost gave me more empathy, you know. So, thank you for that.
I I love that concept. The women take on a large mental load because they're in the back of their head balancing all the tasks of running a household, running the children, yeah. and running the office at the same time. It can be exhausting.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, I'm here with Ario Koshbin, who's the CEO and founder of Prolenium, and we're just talking about this women's conference and, you know, how it's inspired us. And who are some inspiring women to you, and what resonates?
Well, I mean, all the speakers were very inspiring. You know, I never thought that we'd be able to put this together where we had all these wonderful, inspiring people, because people's schedules are so busy. But, you know, I thought all the talks were fantastic. I was actually really moved by the last speaker, Dr. Tess Maurizio, just because of the journey that she had with her husband. So, but really all of them, your talk as well, Dr. K, I thought was fantastic. And, you know,
it brings you back to what's important. You mentioned how important your mom was to you in teaching you about aesthetics and the journey, your journey. How did she help shape you?
Well, I mean, she was the person that gave me confidence in myself. And, you know, I feel like sometimes mothers and their sons, they think their sons are God almost, and they can do anything. So my mom was the one that really inspired me and gave me the confidence that I could accomplish anything. She was always telling me I could do whatever I wanted. And I went for a job interview when I was 21 at the bank for a teller position. And I didn't get the job because they told me I was too ambitious. I went home and I was upset. And my mother said, you know, why do you want to do that anyway? You should just come work with me. So that was the beginning of...
She had a salon with, aesthetics.
Small med spa at the time. It was probably 3 rooms, 4 rooms. And so I started working with her, and the rest is, you know, the rest became Prolenium. So,
Amazing.
She was pivotal in my development. And, you know, it's right. Mothers, I think, are probably the most important for growth and development for kids. So it's so important for mothers to be accomplished and successful and have their careers and those things, because those are things that they can pass down to their children. So.
I think it gives the children that seed of ambition when you see a mom who's working hard and bringing her work home, showing her passion for her career. It influences your kids.
I mean, my mom was such an inspiration to me just because, first of all, she was a fantastic cook. She was able to work, cook, do all the things that, you know, I don't think I could have. Me and my dad couldn't do it, obviously. And but, you know, recently, last couple of years, my mom's been sick. And she hasn't been working. And now my dad's been cooking. So it's good to be in a partnership like that where, you know, you can contribute at different times in your lives and do those things. But, yeah, definitely my mom was a huge influence in my life, yeah.
Sometimes we get caught up in the aesthetics business and the beauty and the industry so fast-paced, but family first, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, for me, looking back on my life, I mean, the work is great, but really the important things have always been my family and my kids. Those are the things that I think without them, there's no real happiness without that. So you can be great at your job and your career, but unless you have something to go home to that people to share with, you're really not going to appreciate it and enjoy it. So
thank you so much, Ario. This has been a passion project getting this conference launched, and I hope you continue it every year.
Thanks to you, because you're the first person to put the seed planted the seed. So thank you for, you know, bringing it to our attention, and thank you for coming and taking part in it. So appreciate
it. It's fabulous. We need to do more of these.
Oh yeah, we will. We will. If you're coming, we'll do more.
Okay, Dr. Tess Maurizio, what are your number one takeaways from your lecture today?
Well, I think preserve your relationships, and success in life and business is about relationships. So no matter how successful you get, if you don't have the people around you to love and support you, it won't be worth it.
That's so heartfelt. A beautiful lecture. Dr. Julie Woodward is here. Professor at Duke. What did you think of the Women Empowerment Conference so far?
It was an amazing experience with completely inspirational talks by Dr. K.
Oh my God, you don't have to say that.
And Dr. Guanche, how she pronounces her name. They were just so motivating and uplifting, and I just can't wait to implement some of the things that they suggested.
What's hard about being a woman in academics these days?
Well, I think that... it's gotten better is what I'm going to say. I think that early on, there was perhaps a little bit more bias against females, but I think that as time has gone on, especially with pushes for diversity, I think that things are become incredibly fair. And our chairman is amazing, and I think he's doing a great job with our department, and I feel really great about being there.
That's so refreshing to hear. Yeah, there is a real push for that in academics. Hopefully that'll come to the private sector and industry.
Yeah, I agree. And if you look at it now, I think they said about 70% of the applicants to medical school were women, which is up over recent years where they said about 52% of medical students were female. So, you know, it's evolving and changing all the time.
What's hard about balancing work-life balance as a surgeon?
There's a lot. I think that when you're home, you never feel like you're a good enough mother. And I think when you're at work, you never feel like you're doing enough at work. I think the thing to do is to learn how to just do the best you can, delegate what you can, and realize everybody looks at you and thinks you're amazing for all the things that you do. And even though you may not feel it, those people are feeling the exact same way as you are.
So true. Do you have any amazing life hack or favorite app that really keeps you organized?
Oh, I can't think of a favorite app or anything. I think I just float a lot in my head. And I, if anything, I would say my calendar. I used to be able to keep my entire calendar in my head. Now everything goes into my phone calendar, and that's what keeps me organized.
That's right. It's our portable brain.
Yes.
So introduce yourself, and then I'll ask you a couple questions.
I'm Ildi Arlett with Results Continuum, Inc.
And you're from Canada.
I'm from Canada, and I've been a business consultant and coach to medical aesthetic clinics for 20 years.
How is running a business practice different when you're a woman giving orders with staff, with HR?
What I have heard from most of my clients is there's a huge pressure toward likability and people-pleasing, and it changes how we show up as women to ask and make reasonable requests from our staff. So there's extra component, and that extra behavior takes extra energy. So lots of people, lots of women leaders in our industry are tired, exhausted, confused, and misaligned because it's so much extra energy.
Why do we do that to each other as women? Like, why can't I just take an order?
I think it's social conditioning where, you know, right or wrong, women are nurtured to serve, to be helping, to be quiet, and to be accommodating. Mm-hmm. So we are the scaffolding upon which people build their lives. And what I've noticed is that the men in the industry have women who are supporting them so they can do what they want.
Yes.
Versus the other way around. So we, as women, we don't ask for as much help or support, or we give meaning to it that says we're weak, you know, we're just conditioned not to do it and take it or expect it, mm-hmm. But rather to provide it. And that's exhausting.
It really is. That's fascinating. It's true. We need to figure out how to lead without having to be friends and lovey-dovey. And I mean, I want to be nurturing and supportive and mentoring, but I also want to be able to get things done.
Yeah, I think that there is, I don't know, for the men it happens more naturally, it seems to come up more absolute, but for women, I think the work to be done is really assessing, am I serving my need or somebody else's need at the cost of mine? So I would love to see women leaders in our industry nurture their 95% female staff to say, let's develop a language and a mindset of expressing needs and communication where it isn't laden with meeting that has to do with belonging, acceptance, rejection, those types of issues.
Now, this is deep. This is life coaching for leaders, and we need this. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay, so go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Dr. Cindy Yag Howard. I'm in solo practice in dermatology for 25 years in Naples, Florida, and I'm the incoming vice president-elect of the American Academy of Dermatology and on the board of the American Society for Dermatologic Surgery.
Woohoo! I'm so excited for you. Are you thrilled?
Oh, yes. I'm very, very happy. I think one of the best benefits I get personally is that I get to surround myself with stellar people who are inspiring and drive me to be the best human I can be.
That's wonderful. What are your mission and statement plans for this year? Do you have a goal for the Academy?
Oh, for the Academy, it's to really meet the needs of our members, to be there for them and to help them
survive in this ever-changing world that we're of pressure and intensity and challenge that we are faced with every single day, to help them overcome those problems and to help them be the best dermatologist for their patients.
I think that's so important. And is medical dermatology becoming more and more difficult to practice with insurance company guidelines and government regulations?
It's almost impossible today. The burdens on practices is really almost to the point that it seems like it's a dark future. And I've always been so positive. And I keep trying to find that light that's there, because it's just, we can only take so much. It's almost untenable. And we have to be a source of light for our dermatology members, and we also have to be there for our patients, which is the ultimate goal.
Very true. Do you have advice for a woman starting out in dermatology in terms of how to empower and equip herself for success?
Believe in yourself. I feel like I personally, throughout my entire life, and I think other women feel the same way, we are absorbed by self-doubt. And if we could actually believe in ourselves and challenge ourselves to be our own best friend, how great would that be? Support each other, support our families, support our patients, support our staff, but actually support yourself, because it's okay to be your own best friend.
It's so important. And your community over competition. But that's the hardest lesson to learn. You don't gain self-confidence till you're like in your 40s, I think.
Oh, I still feel like I'm challenged by having self-confidence. Every day I have some self-doubt and that inner turmoil. Did I do the right thing? Did I perform the best that I could possibly perform? Am I enough?
Now, why don't men ask themselves that?
You know, I don't know if they...
Or do they?
I don't know if they do. And maybe it's because maybe they don't want to. Maybe they don't feel like they need to. Or maybe they don't feel like they want to dig that deep to know if they're disappointing themselves. I don't know. I mean, I'm so fortunate to be married to a person who has a lot of introspection and also a lot of ability to support everything that I dream. It helps to become possible because of him. But I'm certainly probably in the minority, because my husband's not challenged by my success. He supports it and applauds it. So I'm fortunate in that direction. But
that's wonderful. We all need that introspection. But congratulations on your new role.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed that podcast and little snippets of inspiration and thoughts from some of the thought leaders who were at the conference. It's so important to take pause and evaluate your lives and pat yourselves on the back. If you're a woman listening to this, you need to take time to recharge your batteries, get your work-life balance, get someone who inspires you, because it's easy to just get buried in the grind. And remember, above all, work hard, but enjoy what you do. Try to figure out what things you're passionate about and do more of them. Try to figure out what things you dislike doing and do less of that. Such simple and important advice. Take the time to evaluate your life. Analyze where you're succeeding, where you're failing. Get yourself a personal assistant. Number one most important priority for me. Changed my life. And make workflows that are going to take some of the responsibility off of you, because you need time to be a creative and beautiful person. With motherhood and career and being a good spouse or being a good partner, we get buried in all of that. We get rid of who we are to please people. We are people pleasers. And your self-identity is so important. It's so easy to lose your identity, what makes you you, and just become busy in the busy process of life. So try to remember, evaluate your life, think about what's important to you, think about who you are, and who was that girl when she was 12, 14 years old? What did she want to do with her life? You have to honor that girl. Go out there and do it. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find all the amazing things we're doing with people's faces. And our website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com. Take some time to pamper yourself, inspire and motivate women around you. Love you guys. Stay beautiful.